Thank you for listening to Owl Bee Talk, brought to you by Crystal Owl Consulting. Join us in a conversation on technology, business, and the entrepreneur lifestyle. We hope our program can kindle your passion in business.
Hi, and welcome to this month's episode of Owl Bee Talk. Today I'm here with Christina and
Ahmed Zaitoun.
And he is the owner of
Mac Repairman.
And I met him actually through fixing my Mac computer's battery. But I think today we would want to know a little bit more about your business. How did you start it? What's your background?
First, I want to start off with a little story. You guys might find that it might be interesting. I was in high school. I was grade 8, actually grade 9, during my civics class or something like that, a while back. Now, this is me collecting my memory from like about 15 years ago-ish. So grade 9, some young lady, she was tall, doesn't matter, but she brought a white laptop into the class. And then she put it on the table, she plugged it in, and then she opened some application with a little video and whatnot, and she can see herself with it. Then she started playing around with the faces and making funny faces. And then I'm like, what is that program? Like, why is it changing her face? That looks amazing. And her friends were looking at that camera and making faces and having a great time. I went up to her and I'm like, hey, can I see this laptop? Can I play with it? She's like, no. I'm like, can I just look at it? She's like, no. And then I looked on the bottom and on the center of the screen, it said MacBook. I'm like, Apple? MacBook? Like, it's a MacBook? So then I went home. I got on. I got my PC computer with the little screen and mouse, and it's dusty and whatnot and old. And I got on it and I started to Google about the laptops, and I really liked them. Then I looked at the price of them. I'm like, what? Really? What? $1,500? Are you joking? So then I tried looking on some used websites, and then I found one for really, really, really cheap. Being an Arab, we like to bargain a lot. So I went to that person and bought it for $400. So I bought a laptop that's worth about $700 for $400.
Whoa.
Then I opened it up, I got it, and then I opened it up, just the screen and whatnot. I took off the battery, you know, playing around with it. Whatever I buy that's new, I like to, like, take it apart. If you get a new car, you probably want to open the trunk, open the hood, you know, you want to look underneath it, you know, you want to baby it. So that was my baby. So I took it apart, and then I realized that's a bit slow, so I bought some RAM, and I Googled how to put RAM on there, and then I worked my way up, and then I sold it after a couple of months, and I made about $600. And yet, I was in grade 9 making $600 off one laptop. So I thought about it. I'm like, hey, kids my age, you know, when they're 13, 14 years old, they work 1 week straight, 40 hours a week, some fast food restaurant, and they make $600.
Mm-hmm.
And technically speaking, in a couple hours, I made $600. At that point, I'm like, wow, this is a great business.
That's pretty impressive, yeah.
So ever since, I bought and sold them just casually, you know, once a month or whatever, maybe fixing them up and whatnot. And ever since a few years back, I obviously fixed every problem possible in the past like 10 years, but ever since a few years back, I thought that this is actually a great business to go into, and I did a lot of research, a lot of sampling, a lot of discussions, and a lot of focus testing, and I thought that this business is a really good business, and I did a lot of planning the behind the scenes of the business. I did a lot of planning of the core services, the core ethics and morality within the business, so everything just happened perfectly. It's just like a gift from God, really.
Let's talk about this business. So, what would you define as this business?
The Mac Repairman fixes computers. Not only any computer, just Apple computers. He specializes in Apple devices. Now, there's difference between replacing computers or replacing the parts in the computers and fixing them. If you take it to a store that fixes Apple or is specialized in fixing Apples or is authorized to fix Apples, they usually will replace the part. Now, that's not fixing. If you go to a mechanic and you be like, hey, my car's broken, and the mechanic goes, all right, I'll just give you a brand new engine and a brand new transmission. There you go. It's fixed. See, that's not called fixing.
Mm-hmm.
That's called replacing. The Mac Repairman fixes computers. So if you have a logic board that you spilt water on it, he will fix it. He will change the components on it, you know, take the TDK chipset off and put a new one in, or even put a used one in to save even more money.
But isn't that replaceable, technically?
That's more fixing, because I'm not replacing anything except the smallest unit possible. It's like, for instance, if you have a pool and the tiles on the pool, and then one of them is cracked. So if you take one tile out of that pool and replace it, do you say that you replaced the pool? No, you just repaired it.
Right.
You actually, so that's the same thing. These tiles, that's an analogous thought to one little chipset, diode, capacitor, resistor on the board. So the Mac Repairman does physical repair. Also, he does software. We specialize in data recovery. We understand the Linux-based systems inside out. We deal with a lot of software-related issues. And we know all the cool tricks to get things done, like to import your iPhoto library into your Aperture library without any of the errors and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We really can do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work that not a lot of people can do.
And then when you say Mac repair guys, isn't that just you doing this business, or do you know other people who are also doing this business?
Well, currently I'm one of the main repair representatives. There are a few that are being trained currently, and they're pretty young. At the same time, I started young, so I thought it's a great opportunity for them to start young as well.
Sorry, I'm not really quite understanding. I thought this is your independent idea.
I'm starting to recruit people. Because I get about 15 computers a day, and I cannot handle 15 computers a day. There's a lot of people that are calling me and are requesting for my services,
mm-hmm.
because they love the work that I do, or their friend told them, hey, this guy's the man, or this guy's the boss, or this company, and they'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of people, you know, coming to me with that perspective or that mindset. So I chose to recruit people to help me out, and bit by bit, this is how businesses are started.
That's true.
The cool thing about Mac Repairman that's not really available anywhere else, relatively speaking, is I am able to go into a household and fix their computer in their household. I have equipment so that I need to bring just a little suitcase, and I can get everything done from reflows to chipsets to everything. Not a lot of companies have that services.
It sounds kind of like the Geek Squad, or what is it called, the Nerd Squad or whatever, mm-hmm. over at Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of what the idea of Mac Repair Guy is?
It is, kind of. Again, I'm the only person that actually repair them,
right.
not replace.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense that the Geek Squad is a really good company, is just or idea. If you guys have a Geek Squad come to your house, I want to hear a regular customer. I want to ask them how much they paid for that. They charge an arm and a leg, and they'll probably amputate you and take your leg. Like, it's really bad, the amount that they charge, in my opinion. But
right. But I mean, just the whole idea of going to a customer's house, helping them on a household level.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a new concept. But I think that the idea of repairing versus replacing, that's definitely a
mm-hmm.
good marketing.
Also,
idea.
when they go to a house to fix a problem,
mm-hmm.
Most of them go by the manual. You know, they go by the book, mm-hmm. and make sure everything's done by the book and by the manual. It's kind of a good thing to do, in my opinion. My technicians, aka me, I don't really go by the book. I find the fastest, quickest, most efficient way, yet the most reliable way to get the job done. And something very special about me is that I don't really think about my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think about their pocket. Because at the end of the day, it's service that I care about, and it's efficiency that I care about. Or if I was not saving people money, then I don't think I would have opened this business. My goal is to save people money. Instead of paying $600 or $700 for a logic board repair, or replacement, why not pay $200 or $300?
It sounds like a fantastic marketing advantage that you're putting out. It really identifies sort of the core of what you're providing and how it differs from your competitors. You seem to emphasize again and again that you're repairing rather than replacing, and you really have a customer focused mindset. Was it something that was implanted in your mind at the very beginning? Or did you, through experience, you realize, oh, this is a fantastic way of doing business?
You just gave me goosebumps. I wish you guys that are listening, you guys can actually see the goosebumps on me. When I was young, again, grade 8, I started volunteering at the YMCA Immigrant Services. And then I started meeting people from different backgrounds, different languages, different morals, different everything. Mm-hmm. They're just different people. And talking to these people, you learn so much about them. You learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about your community. And you learn so much about Canada in general. So I started volunteering there, and then I grew, and I started volunteering with the YMCA, and then I started managing youth groups, and then I was invited to a conference here in Canada, and then I started emceeing the conference, and then I started organizing the conference, and then I was chosen to do to attend a conference in Japan for the United Nations / YMCA Mach G20.
Holy.
And then I was invited to plan that or help plan that, and I refused because I had to go to university. And then I did a joint degree in Peace and Conflict Studies. So I was stuck with people. And I think you have to know the people that are around you. You have to know what they want. You have to know how they think and what they need. You have to know people. You have to know how to talk to them. You have to know how to understand them and feel what they need. Every single client that I get is different. Some people, they like to save money as much as they can. So I do my best to save as much money as I can. Some people have money and they don't want to spend too much, but they know that they'll spend whatever is needed and, you know, and they're willing to pay that much. I accommodate them. So some people have different mentalities, and I really know how to work with all the mentalities, and I know what they want and what they need. So I kind of have a very good balance for this.
It's fantastic. Is there a few general rules that you go by telling what people want? Are there a few tell signs that you, some hints that you could give to our listeners?
That's a really good question. First of all, it's all about you. You have to have big ears. Now, I personally have big ears, but I'm not talking about having big ears. I'm talking about having excellent listening skills. If you pick up the phone, someone's calling you, and you say, "Hello, this is the Mac Repairman. How can I help you?" Now, at that instant, it's all ears. You want to listen to how they respond to that. You want to listen to the background. You want to listen to their tone. You want to listen to their choice of words, okay? And you want to even listen how they even say the word. All these things you have to calculate. You want to listen to his tone, and if he sounds very happy and outgoing and forward, and then you'll know exactly, you know, that he's, you know, he's straight up in business and he's ready to come by and just drop it off and get the thing going. Or if he's kind of slow when he's talking, you'll know that, A, he's still thinking and, you know, he's not sure. And, you know, or if he talks in a very low tone of voice, the money's not there. Just minor things that you collect over time, and then you learn about these things. And you know how to respond so quickly. I'll bet you, if you go talk to any 911 operator,
mm-hmm.
She can run my business in 2 seconds. As in, she'll know people. She'll know how to talk with people. She'll know how to listen. So it's like these minor things that you add up together. And I'm not a professional. Like, you can get any actor to call me and then, you know, they can play the role.
Right.
But I'm just saying, a general rule of thumb is that you can really listen to them and understand how to respond to them and understand what they want through their voice. And also, body language is such a totally different category and topic. And all these things I learned by what? Volunteering. By listening to people. Talking to people. Shaking someone's hand. If someone's in the bus right beside you, and he's sitting there, why not go up to him and start talking to him? Obviously, with certain conditions and limits. Right? But you'll learn so much from people, man. We're creatures, and we're beautiful creatures. There's mm-hmm. lots to learn and lots to experience. And I promise you, every single second that you spend with anyone, it's beneficial for you, and you can do a lot with it.
Well, you're not what I expected from, you know, people who do tech business, because I assume, you know, being a Mac repairer, you're all about the hardware, right? The computer side. But this is like a very human side of you. So what would you say is more important, knowing how to delete virus or knowing how to talk to people?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, wink, wink, Macs don't get viruses.
Oh.
But it's okay. The thing about what makes my business, the Mac Repairman, is that fixing computers, it's important. People want their computer fixed. And sometimes they get very emotional about it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're like, just fix it. But the important thing behind it is the service, right? If you go to Walmart and then something really, really bad happens, and you're like, I want to talk to the manager right now. And the manager comes to you because he smiles to you. Sir, how are you doing today? Good? Good. You wake up fine? Are you good? All right. That would mean the world to me, because that means that he cares about me. He doesn't just care about my money.
Mm-hmm.
So customers want to know that you actually care about them. You care about their interests. And by having good ears, a good tongue, of course you're going to have to take care of their interests, mm-hmm. take care of what's deep down in their hearts, deep down in their minds,
right?
Not deep down in their pockets. So my business, it's a bit social orientated,
mm-hmm.
but that's how successful businesses are.
That's true. Yep.
Every single ad you see related to any of my products, you see a smile on the person's face. You see professionalism. You see purity. You don't see anything that's extraordinary. It's still dynamic,
mm-hmm.
but nothing that's extreme that you see on those videos. That's negative.
Right.
So it's customer service.
That's fantastic. I think your insight into human nature really helps you as an entrepreneur. It's an extremely useful business skill to have as the owner of your own company. What are some of the other skills that you think are crucial to the success of your business?
This is less social, but at the same time, you can connect it to being social or even a social faculty or field or whatnot. Being on time is very important. Being timely is very important. I think it's part of being professional. It's part of showing the customer or client that you care. It's part of giving them respect,
mm-hmm.
because someone wasting my time is them disrespecting for me. They're telling me that your time is worth nothing and my time is more important than your time. But at the same time, I think of it as an equal thing. Yes, if a customer called me and be like, sorry, I didn't show up, is this happened, that happened. I respect that. It's a business, you know. You get that. You get customers that come early. You get customers that come late.
Mm-hmm.
Customers that come on time, right? So you gotta work with that. So time is one of the things that is important. Another thing would be service. Yeah, okay, you put a computer together. You fix it for them. You give it to them. And you're probably confident with it. How confident are you with it? Did you test it enough? Did you put it back together? And you're sure that you put it back together? So, like, for me, I'm kind of a bit OCD. And actually, for fixing computers, OCD is the best medicine. You got to make sure that you put every screw with the right torque. Even on a MacBook. Forget about a car. Forget about a motorcycle. Like, I went to the Ducati dealership and asked them, you know, how much torque they use on this certain screw because I was changing the oil on my bike. And then they told me, just tighten up. just make sure it's tight, not too tight. I'm like, no. I went to the ownership and whatnot, the book, figured out the torque, and I put it right back. Because I'll be driving with confidence now.
Right.
Same with a MacBook. I know it's crazy to have one screw tight, but it's just, I want to keep it consistent. It's part of being professional. So the service is really solid. The service is there.
I noticed that, you know, you said listening, service, criminal profiling. you didn't say,
the technical.
Yes, problem. Exactly.
Well, it seems like you're very inquisitive about the problems at hand, and you really want to uphold that professional image, and you seem to genuinely enjoy fixing things. And you even mentioned the analogy. Please tell the listener about the analogy you made between.
Okay, so like, over the past several years, I've met so many different technicians. Sorry, some of them were professionally working with Apple, and not as technicians, higher up in that field. And I sat down with them, and obviously with my background, I can build a relationship with anyone, right?
Yeah.
I can get in contact with them and communicate with them effectively and efficiently and be their friend really easily with my personality and, you know, how adaptive it is. I sat down with a lot of them, and they taught me A to B, A to Z, chipset, from software, from everything. So I learned a lot through that field. But at the end of the day, my background is biomedical science. So biomedical science, computer software and repair, what? It's really weird, but you know how they say a lot of the work that you do in life is transferable?
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely transferable. So I view MacBooks as a human body. There's a symptom, or there's a breakage, or there's a problem. Your knee hurts. Oh, does it hurt? Is it warm? Is it getting hot? Oh, your laptop, it's getting hot, it's getting warm. Same stuff, essentially. Oh, you want a full cleaning? Okay, here's a shower. You get it? Same stuff. It's very, very similar. As in, if there's a problem, you diagnose it, you trace it, you see what's the causes, and you give it medicine for it to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed my biomedical science program, my honors. And when I was in class, I always was thinking about the cause, the symptoms, this. I was making connections so quick. And making these connections is what was transferable
right.
and fixing Macs. is as soon as I can smell a smell, I'll know which chipset almost it came from and that needs to be replaced. Or as soon as I get this light or that light, it's just my fingers, my brain physically snaps its fingers. Be like, all right, it's that. So the whole human MacBook, iMac, Mac Pro analogy is really, really relevant, or it's a really good way to express how I think of diagnosing and repairing computers, both software and hardware.
So this skill, you know, being able to connect things, is easily transferable to, like, say, PC or cell phone, right? So let's say that you want to expand into repairing PCs. Is that something you can just be able to do like that?
I want to tell you guys a story. Then I'm going to answer her question. But through the story, it'll kind of give you a heads up of what I'm going to answer it.
All right.
So the biggest insult, if you have a friend and you hate him, or a girl, or whatever it is, and you hate them, the biggest thing you want to give them, if you want to insult them, is a broken car. And make sure it's not fixable. Because they're going to spend... So you're going to buy a broken car for $100 and give it to them. And then he's going to be like, oh my gosh, a free car. I'm going to fix it. He's going to spend 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, a year fixing it, putting grease and wasting his time and swearing and biting and cutting his finger and all that. And that's like you in the back going, ha, 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 ha. For PCs, I will not touch PCs as long as I live. Generally speaking, the quality of PCs is very low compared to Apple's. And I'm afraid if I touch the board, it'll break on me. As in, I can fix them. I fixed them before.
But it's just not something you want to do?
It's not something I want to work with. I'd rather work with phones, or I'd rather work with TVs or microwaves instead of PCs. Just that I think PCs are a piece of cardboard, if you know what I mean.
So, but let's say that another Apple product, iPhones. Is that something you would be considering going to?
I actually deal with all Apple devices, so I repair them all.
Oh.
The reason I choose all Apple devices is because Apple, I love you guys. You guys put really good, you guys use really good quality parts on all your products. You guys are not selective like PCs,
mm-hmm.
right? Generally speaking, like Lenovo and Dell and whatnot, you guys have good quality parts, but not everything. And then if you, like, Apple does not make cheap quality stuff and high quality stuff. They're just quality, mm-hmm. done, period, owned. I repair all Apple devices. And if you're talking about what I'm going to do to expand my business, my hope is to have a Mac repairman in every single city in Canada. With my mentality, I really feel that I can motivate a whole bunch of youth to take action and make money.
You might be scared by the burdens of running a business. Don't be afraid. Crystal Owl can provide you with marketing, taxation, data management, and all the financial services your company needs. Allow us to help bring your business to the next stage. It's never too late to begin the journey. Listen in as our guests share with you their tales of tribulations and accomplishments.
So what was it like for your first business? You said you were buying computers and selling them, but when was the first time you actually fixed someone's computer, and how did you get that first business?
2011, May 31st. I posted an ad on Kijiji. My brother told me, hey, why don't you just post an ad up, man? Maybe it'll help. Posted one up. I got a guy coming. You know, he came to me, and his hard drive just failed really easy. Nothing. Like, a blink of an eye, I fixed it. And I charged him $50 for that, for everything. He looked at me. He's like, excuse me? I'm like, yeah, just $50, you know, $35 for their hard drive, you know. And he gave me his recovery CDs and I put them in and good to go. He was like, $50 per hour? What do you like? So, and then I told him $50, just it's $50. It didn't take too much time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first experience. And then from there, I learned to price myself out correctly, my time, my knowledge and whatnot. And I grew from there. However, I recommend a whole bunch of younger people to get their hands dirty and messy and try to fix their own computers. But at the same time, I need you guys to be cautious because there's lots of electricity in the MacBook and it's not protected well from the inside. It's made to be protected from the outside. And if you make one mistake, it could lead to another and another and another. So you have to think of it very professionally. You have to be very knowledgeable with it. Why do people call people over to fix their electricity at home? Why do they call people to fix their dishwashers or their dryers or to do renovations at home? Because they're specialized. They know exactly what they're doing. They do it quicker, they do it safely, and they use the best parts. And they're reliable, and they can warranty their work.
Actually, we've touched on several grounds with regards to skill sets and the different aspects of your business. I'm really curious about marketing. I understand that your clients, a lot of them are referred. How else do you do to market your business?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Because I put service number one or customer relations number one, because I put it up there, I depend mostly on word of mouth. Because if I helped you in a way that really made you feel really good, you will continue to have that smiling face. And you will continue to be an advocate for my business. Every single time you see a MacBook, you're going to be like, I know a guy. He fixed my laptop and it was amazing, right? Like, that's the perspective, or that's the thought. That's the idea that I want to deliver to every single client of mine. So word of mouth is really, really, really important. You touched upon that. Something else what I'm doing is Facebook, Twitter, Kijiji, and a lot of the internet websites, even the minor websites like Craigslist, right? Now, for Twitter, I'm not just posting my jobs up. I'm not posting 1972 Steve Jobs or whatever. No. What I'm doing is I'm posting interesting things for people to know that will benefit them, that will save them money. For example, how to properly tuck away your power cord. Or watch out for this download. It could cause you problems. Or how to make your hard drive faster in like 3 steps. Or what to do if you spilt water on your laptop in 6 steps, right? Stuff like that are really relevant to them and really catch their eyes. I have online marketing. I have SEO, and I have a whole bunch of other things going on. I actually have a company that's taking care of my marketing. It's AMA, and they're entrepreneurs just like me.
Hmm.
Because I was an entrepreneur, I like to promote other entrepreneurs.
That's cool. So I guess marketing would be one of the cost structure of your business. What are some of the other costs that come with your venture?
That's a good question. Dealing with the public, it's really difficult to deal with some sort of customer relations aspects of the business. I'm going to give you guys a story, and it's really interesting, and you guys can share it if you guys would like with your friends and folks over dinner or something. I had a client call me, hey, I need to fix my computer fixed and it's not turning on and I spilled water on it. I'm like, absolutely, come by and drop it off. Now, I obviously assessed their voice and all that, and I was risking not to tell him to come over because I assessed it in my own personal way. But yeah, I had a good day that day and I told him to come over. He dropped it off. I discussed his options. I gave him an estimate and he's like, thumbs up, fix it, bud. I fixed it. It's working 100%. I called the customer back. Hey, sir, how are you today? Good, good. This is the Mac Repairman. Your MacBook Pro 15-inch is all done and it's good to go. It's working 100%. I've tested it for 6 hours and all the tests are positive. Would you like to come pick it up? When would you like to come pick it up? He's like, well, I don't have any cash. Can I come over? We'll see what we can do. I'm like, absolutely. You can come over and talk. He came over. We talked. He opened his backpack. He had so many watches, so much jewelry, so much electronics. And he's like, can we do some trades for your fix? And I told him, excuse me? Right? And I'm like, we discussed cash here or debit or Visa or MasterCard or checking or I meant like a check. He wanted to trade me illegal products or stolen products for the fix. So at that point, I looked into his eyes, his pupils, they were dilated. And, you know, I did my regular check that I usually do if I'm judging someone based on for the best interest of my business or my life or whatnot. So, and I realized that, you know, he had aggression problems and he came from a troubled family and, you know, he's high or on drugs. And you know, as being a manager or even a supervisor of a company or of my own company, you have to know that you may have to deal with things like these. So he started raising his voice, and then I told him, you know, cash is what we discussed, and then he started threatening and whatnot. So I could have called the cops or called the police services, and they could have came and de-escalated it and took him and this and reports and written. I did something much simpler and something that I don't mind doing.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, what's the date today? He's like, what? Why do you want to know the date?
Mm-hmm.
He told me the date. And I'm like, you're so lucky. Every single month, I fix one laptop for free for charity.
Right.
He's like, what? Really? And I'm like, congratulations, I didn't do it last month, so I'm going to move it up to this month, and I'll do it today. Mm-hmm. He's like, really? You should have seen the smile on his face. He was so happy. He started shaking my hand. I washed my hands after. Because they were, like, full of, like, white stuff. And I don't know. But anyways, so then he was so happy, and I gave it to him, and then it was a peace of mind for me. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you were alive. Yeah,
I was alive, and I was standing on 2 feet. But, like, it took some effort, some thought. And for at that point, like, money's not that important for me in this business. It is important because it's a business you do to get money. Same time, it's customer service. It comes back to customer service. It comes back. I'm actually still happy that I made him happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I understand, you know, to be careful a bit more and whatnot. And you learn lessons. And this is an experience that I want everyone to experience so they know how to deal with people. From different socioeconomic backgrounds, from different criminal backgrounds, from different backgrounds. Like 5% of the time I have to deal with people that, you know, come from a lower socioeconomic, you know, background,
right.
which is totally okay. And they're amazing people.
With every business, there's risks involved. What were the risks that you saw, and were you ever scared, and what did you do to mitigate that?
It's more of a personal question, but I don't mind sharing it. I finished my honors in biomedical science, and I did a joint degree in peace and conflict studies at the University of Waterloo. And usually people find a job right after that, and they go on and they pursue and they grow and they expand and they network and whatnot. You know the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I decided to open this business, not only just to open the business. This business is going to be well taken care of. It's going to be professional. It's going to be big. It's going to be national. It's going to go. I'm very confident, right? At the same time, I have future plans for myself. I want to do my MBA.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a medical MBA at McMaster University. So at the same time, I'm leaving school for a few years to expand this business and make it national, let's just say. So that's kind of one of the risks that I took, that, you know, taking 3 years off of education. And then me being at my age, I'm like, hey, when's life going to start? You know, when am I going to settle down? So that's one risk that I took. But at the same time, it was a risk, and I overcame that risk, and I'm happy that I took it, and everything's 100% right now, and I'm so happy. I'm happy with flying colors.
It's kind of like, you know, Bill Gates, like all those rich CEOs, they are dropouts. Is that kind of the idea here?
Interesting. That's close. I did not drop out of university. But at the same time, I valued university. The university gave me things that maybe took Steve Jobs or maybe took Bill Gates some time to understand or to know. You know, the logic, you know? So, you know, some people have it naturally. It's a natural thing. They have this logic. It comes naturally. For me, I earned it. I went to school and I gained it. And now I'm here to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Have you ever considered, you know, going to something like working for Apple itself, right? So where it's definitely a lot safer, a lot less risk. Instead of opening your own company, developing your company, have you considered going into corporate?
I have considered it, but just as an idea or a thought. It was never applicable for me because I'm here to help people. I want to help people that cannot be helped.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a student and I have $300 in my bank, Apple wants $600. What do you do? I'm like their superhero. I'm gonna help people that do not have enough money, that cannot afford to spend that much money with Apple. I'm the other alternative. I actually get the job done in a very interesting way. I sit down with them and I ask them all questions about, okay, I'm not a creep, but I ask them about their life. I ask them as if I'm their cousin or their uncle or their friend. They're not a customer when they step in my house,
mm-hmm.
or in my office or whatever it is. They're not a customer. They're a friend. Automatic stamp right there, done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to make clients. I'm here to make friends. We need more friends in this world.
Oh, that's incredible.
So let's say that one of my listeners wants to be your friend, get their MacBook fixed. How would they contact you?
Okay, so I have a song for this. Are you guys ready? I'm just joking. There's no song. I can't sing. I don't even have one bone of song muscle in my body. Or muscles. Anyways, so you guys can find me on Facebook. Just search in the search bar, Mac Repairman. No spaces, just Mac Repairman. You guys will find me through there. You guys can visit me on my website. It's www.macrepairman.ca. No spaces, no nothing. Just simple, macrepairman.ca. You guys can find me on Twitter, The Mac Repairman. No spaces again. You guys can also contact me, 519-505-0058. You guys can also iMessage that number, FaceTime that number, text that number, call that number, voicemail that number. What else? You guys can also take a plane to Jamaica and then have a cruise and come back. And then come visit me. You guys can do whatever you guys want.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm sure at least 50% of our listeners are probably Mac users, given statistics. And I'm hoping they will contact you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very glad that you guys came here today and, you know, and talked to me. You guys, I don't know if you guys are listening out there, but these two young girls, they're really sweet. They're really nice. And right now they're smiling and they're so happy to not only hear me, but they're happy to know that you guys are going to be listening to this and you guys will benefit from this talk.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you would like to share your experiences or learn more about our services, please contact us by visiting our website at crystalowlco.com. That is crystalowlco.com. We look forward to hearing from you through Facebook and Twitter. Remember, the greatest gift you can give yourself is to follow your passion and grow your business. Thank you.